God, as we come to you, God, we call you our Father because we are yours. Lord, we are bought with the precious blood of Jesus Christ. And because of that, today, Lord, we want to not just give you our hands and our feet, but we want to give you our hearts, our minds, our will, our strength. God, today we want to put it all in your hands. We want to walk by faith, not by sight. Because, God, you've been so good to us. And, Lord, I pray now that as we look in your word, that this would become ever more apparent for us. That, Lord, that we will see how good you are and we will walk by faith, knowing that you have a plan. And we'll give you all the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, if our kids will be dismissed this morning for Kids Connect. As they head back for a time in the Word, let's take our Bibles this morning to the book of Exodus, chapter number 2. Book of Exodus, chapter number 2. It's an amazing thing what happens when you start preaching through a book of the Bible. I didn't necessarily consult a calendar or look at what dates were coming when I started the series of Exodus, but it just seemed to fit just perfectly that today on Mother's Day, we are covering a section of Scripture that talks about Moses' mother. And it gives us a chance to look at this house and this family and how Moses' mother was instrumental in his life here from the young age. And as we celebrate mothers today, we think of their foundational role, their role of love, of nurture, of instruction, of discipline. I will tell you, there is nothing more fearful in this world than your mother talking at you through her teeth. Because you know it's about to go down. And yet we know the care and the instruction that our moms provide for us. But we also see influence. That our mothers influence us. And the statistics are even here today of the impact of parents upon children as they're being raised. And maybe you have heard the statement, the hand that rocks the cradle rules the world. Well, that statement is a poem. It's a poem by William Ross Wallace. And listen to these words. Blessings on the hand of women. Angels guard its strength and grace in the palace, cottage, hovel. Oh, no matter where the place, would that never storms assailed it. Rainbows ever gently curled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Infancies, the tender fountain, power may with beauty flow, mothers first to guide the streamlets from their souls unresting grow. Grow on for the good or evil, sunshine streamed or evil hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Woman, how divine your mission here upon your natal sod. Keep, oh keep, the young heart open, always to the breath of God. All true trophies of the ages are from mother loved and pearled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. Blessings on the hand of women, fathers, sons, and daughters cry, and the sacred song is mingled with the worship in the sky. Mingles where no tempest darkens, rainbows evermore are hurled, for the hand that rocks the cradle is the hand that rules the world. The role of the mother, both in birth and in function, has foundational elements to our society. Whether a birth mom or a step mom or an adoptive mom or a foster mom, we see the role of mom shift in many ways in our society, but yet without mothers, society suffers. And today we want to see in Exodus Moses' mother, an example for all of us. So look here in Exodus and read with me chapter 2, beginning in verse 1. It says, "Now a man from the house of Levi went and took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. She put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. And his sister stood at a distance to know what would be done to him. Now the daughter of Pharaoh came down to bathe at the river while her young women walked beside the river. She saw the basket among the reeds and sent her servant woman. And she took it. And when she opened it, she saw the child. And behold, the baby was crying. She took pity on him and said, 'This is one of the Hebrews' children.' Then his sister said to Pharaoh's daughter, 'Shall I go and call you a nurse from the Hebrew women to nurse the child for you?' And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Go.' So the girl went and called the child's mother. And Pharaoh's daughter said to her, 'Take this child away. Nurse him for me, and I will give you your wages.' So the woman took the child and nursed him. And when the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter, and he became her son. And she named him Moses, because she said, 'I drew him out of the water.'" Here we see an interesting aspect that's beginning for us. And in an incredible story we know from our childhood, from Sunday school growing up, of Moses in the basket in the bulrushes. But this morning I want you to see an incredible situation that is happening here, in even in this family. Now the setting for this goes back even to what we see at the end of chapter 1 in verse 22. "Then Pharaoh commanded all his people, 'Every son that is born to the Hebrews you shall cast into the Nile, but you shall let every daughter live.'" If you remember at the end of last week, we saw that Pharaoh had made the command. He had initially tried to do it through two Hebrew midwives. If you see a boy, take care of it. Destroy the baby boys. Let the daughters live. When we see this wasn't going as planned, now Pharaoh has commanded all of his people that if you see a Hebrew boy, that we are to cast them into the Nile and only let the daughters live. And so it's a very public proclamation. That is then where the setting of chapter 2 begins, where you see to this man of the house of Levi, to this Levite woman, we see a son is born. It's amazing that in a dark time of oppression, God can shine a light through the birth of a child. And here you have this. God sets the stage for redemption using women in a mighty way to prepare the way. Even here in this section in verses 1 through 10, we see God using women in different aspects. You see the creative aspect and the nurturing aspect of Moses' mother. You see the quick think, you see the quick thinking and the protection that his sister Miriam provides there as he's floating in the river. Then you see the resolve and you see the compassion that even Pharaoh's daughter has upon Moses. Here in this chapter, we see the work of these three different women in the life of Moses that would eventually shape who he becomes. Now, it's very interesting because here in this passage, much like we've seen so far, there's no names given for Moses' parents, a Levite man and a Levite woman. Whereas later on in the book of Exodus, in Exodus chapter 6, verse 20, we see they're named. Amram is Moses' father, and Jochebed is Moses' mother. But there is a quality that stands out by their lives, and that's the fact that they lived by faith, and in so, they raised Moses by faith. As we think of Mother's Day, let's think of today of the opportunity that we have to raise by faith our children. Later on in Scripture, in Hebrews chapter 11 and verse 23, the Word says, "By faith Moses, when he was born, was hidden for 3 months by his parents, because they saw that the child was beautiful and that they were not afraid of the king's edict." Isn't it interesting that this is brought up again in that Hall of Faith chapter in Hebrews chapter 11, that Moses' parents lived by faith and they hid Moses because they weren't afraid of the king's edict. To raise Moses by faith, they lived by faith, especially Jochebed. And so I want you to notice three things this morning that raising by faith teaches. The first thing is it teaches that God can be trusted. God can be trusted. Verse 1, now a man from the house of Levi went, took as his wife a Levite woman. The woman conceived and bore a son. And when she saw that he was a fine child, she hid him 3 months. Now the phrase I want you to think about here is that he was a fine child. This was the reason that he was hid. Now this reason has something more. It's not just about outward appearance, right? Because have you ever heard the statement, it's a face only a mother could love? How many children do our moms just sit there and say, hey, whoa, you know? No, every child is precious to a mother. Every child is beautiful. Every child is precious to that mom that has labored and gone through that. If it's their child, they're going to be protective of it. So what we see in this phrase that he was a fine child, the language that's used here is a callback to Genesis chapter 1, where God had looked upon creation and he saw that everything was good. He saw everything was good. And this is the same language that's used here, that he was a fine child. It speaks of something more. You see, Jochebed saw the birth of Moses as God's provision. Folks, they didn't have the sonogram technology in this day. They didn't know that this was a boy. But what they did know was the proclamation that if it is a boy, you're to cast it into the Nile. So what they did was they lived by faith. They saw this life as ordained by God. They didn't know it as a boy, but if God gave them a boy, they would trust him with the boy. As Hebrews 11 said, they feared God more than the king's edict. They lived by faith, and that showed that God can be trusted. Even so, when they see this, they hide him. It says that she, Jochebed, hid him 3 months. Have you ever tried to hide a three-month-old? You know, it's always precious when we have a chance and the newborns and the infants that are here with us. And I've heard so many different mothers at different times, you know, apologize for their baby cry. I said, don't apologize. They're doing what they're supposed to do. And you're doing what you're supposed to do. I'd much rather have him crying here in church. Oh, it's a distraction. So? Some of you get distracted without the baby crying. But we have an opportunity to see a parent raise their child by faith. We should be excited about that. Here, she's hiding him for 3 months. You know what? Tough decisions were made. The decision to try to hide this child in the midst of such an edict. The decision to conceal this. These decisions were made. These decisions were lived by. Folks, parenting changes the way you live, doesn't it? Because when you become a parent, there is someone else under your responsibility. Maybe we need to see this taught more even in our coming generations, that when you have a child, they are your responsibility, not someone else's. And here the tough decisions are being made. They had to make the decisions of the sacrifice of doing what they could to hide him. They couldn't do everything they wanted to do. They didn't go to the movies all when they wanted to go to the movies anymore. They didn't do the things that they wanted to do because they wanted to do them in this freedom. Now their parenting has changed their walk, and they are going to do this by faith. Not only in birth, but also in the raising. That we see God can be trusted. Look down verse 10 again. Because this is something that amazed me about this passage. When the child grew older, She brought him to Pharaoh's daughter. If you remember in the course of the passage, we see that when Moses was laid in the bulrushes and the Pharaoh's daughter finds him and knows that, hey, this is a young child. He still needs to be nursed. Miriam is quick thinking. She says, hey, why don't I find somebody for you that can nurse this baby? And she takes him back to her mom. She thinks quickly about it. But think about in Jochebed's mind how hard verse 10 would have been. Somewhere around 3 years, she's now bringing the child to Pharaoh's daughter and saying, here, take my son. Not allowing Pharaoh's daughter to know it's his son, but in her heart, in her mind, take my son. And he became a son to Pharaoh's daughter. I tell you, folks, that was an act of faith. God, I'm putting him in your hands. I'm trusting you with my son, even in Pharaoh's court. This was a God thing, because here, this one that God was going to use to bring his people out of Egypt is in the midst of Pharaoh's court and being raised up right underneath Pharaoh's nose. It's a story that only God could produce. It shows us that God can be trusted. His birth, his raising, it's that evidence. And the very means that Pharaoh attempted to thwart God's plan is the very means that God used to thwart Pharaoh. Just think about it. What is Pharaoh trying to do? Get rid of all the boys. Kill all the boys. And yet, here's this one that his daughter finds and raises a Hebrew son right in the midst of his court. Only a God thing. Trust God, who can turn what looks to be evil and make it into something good. I've often heard that faith is an instrument of perception. It changes how you see things. You see God's promises as 100% reality. That God is going to take his word and he's going to do something with it. He can be trusted. And here we see Jochebed trusting God and that which looks evil to be used for something good. For us today, it's Romans 8:28. And we know that for those who love God, all things work together for good for those who are called according to his purpose. God can take what's evil and make it look and turn it into something good. I was thinking about this and I found an article written by Lori McDaniel from the International Mission Board called Missionary Moms. Thinking about those that are walking in faith and raising their children. And to read this article about missionary moms, I wanted to read you some of these characteristics. A mother of a missionary is invaluable to the movement of the kingdom of God. Her name may never be known, but she has tasted the bitter sweetness of sacrifice required to make his name known. A mother of a missionary holds her children tightly in her heart and loosely in her hands. She has raised her child to obey God, not knowing the radical obedience would take her child far away. A mother of a missionary straddles the emotions of a proud apprehension and an anxious support. She keeps balance by fiercely clutching a confidence in her child's calling and the certainty of God's sovereignty. A mother of a missionary attempts to reconcile the inner tension she feels, desiring to pray that God would send her child back home, but knowing she needs to pray that God will give her child endurance to stay. A mother of a missionary lives in the strenuous reality that God's will does not always equal safety. She understands that sending her child off into the unknown is not a romantic spiritual journey, but an everyday battle with the forces of darkness and light. A mother of a missionary whose child lives in a remote place struggles with the assurance that her child has given to her that no news is good news. A mother of a missionary blazes trails to the post office to send securely packaged delights and comforts from home to her child who is blazing trails around the globe. A mother of a missionary knows the cost of surrender to participate in God's mission. In prayer, she carries the weight of the Great Commission as her child carries his name to those who have never heard. And a mother of a missionary treasures the sincere words from others who say, "I am praying for your child." Raising a child by faith says, God can be trusted. To see his promises as 100% reality, Jochebed took and hid Moses, and then when he was of age, gave him into Pharaoh's court, saying, "Lord, I trust you." God can be trusted. The second thing we see is that God will triumph. Now look at verse 3. It says there, when she could hide him no longer. In other words, he's getting a little too big. He's starting to make a lot more noises and wanting to get mobile and all these different things. When she could hide him no longer, she took for him a basket made of bulrushes and daubed it with bitumen and pitch. And she put the child in it and placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. Here we see this next act of Jochebed, and that she makes this basket. And now notice the phrasing there where it says, and she placed it among the reeds by the riverbank. The word here for placed is an idea of care and an idea of intention. It's not that something that was just sporadic that was happening. It was something that was scouted. It was something that was known. It was something very intentional that she was placing her child in this basket here in the midst of these reeds in this certain spot. Now we are talking about the Nile. And she had made a calculated decision to place her child in the Nile. Do you know what the Nile is known for? Crocodiles. Now, I grew up in Florida, and every time we went fishing, we would see alligators all over the place. There's one lake that we were fishing in, Lake Buffum, and I remember this day as we were fishing, we looked up on the bank, and it looked like a dead palm tree was laying on the side of the bank. And my dad said, "You know, I don't think that's a palm tree." He said, "I think that might be an alligator." I said, "Well, I don't see the head. I don't see any of that because only a certain section was being visible." So Dad took the trolling motor and we very wisely got up closer to it. And I took my fishing pole and very wisely reached over to see what kind of palm tree this was. And I tapped that alligator, not knowing that three quarters of it was under the brush right there. And all of a sudden, this thing flips around, and it was, and I'm not exaggerating, I know you're going to think I am, but it was at least 12 foot. Now, I was still a pretty big guy in high school, and I think I could have ridden on his back just fine with extra room to spare. And that thing flipped towards us, and he went right under our boat. And our boat went boop. I will never try to see if something is a palm tree ever again. Because all I saw was jaws. You know, that's all I saw. I was dead. Imagine Moses' mother as she is making a calculated action of taking that basket and placing it amongst the reeds, knowing that this has crocodiles all throughout. But not only that. It was a calculated placing because she knew who would come through this area. Pharaoh's daughter would be coming in this area. Place known for their washing. Now, this was not as safe as a place as it might think about. Well, maybe she will see her. That wasn't a safe action because remember the decree of Pharaoh. That all Hebrew children, that all the boys should be taken, and this was a public decree. It was made known. So an Egyptian finding a Hebrew child was not a safe thing. And here we see Jochebed trusting God and placing him in the Nile with an idea that's saying that God is going to triumph. That he is going to win. This placing was a position of total commitment. Jochebed was committed that God would be victorious over the evil. And the evil was continuing to become more threatening. What started off as a behind the scenes with the Hebrews' midwives has now come to a public proclamation in front of everyone of the boy child to be slain. And we see that our opposition might start in little private conversations. But as we continue to walk in faith, we will watch as things become more and more public. And if you don't see the opposition as public anymore, you aren't looking. It's there. It's happening. We're seeing all this that's going on. Yet, the safest place in the middle of all of this was for Jochebed to put that baby in the Nile River. Because God will triumph. And when we walk in the midst of evil, when we walk by faith and we raise our children by faith in the midst of all that's going on, we are taking our children and we are saying we are going to put them in the safest place because God will triumph. Today we have to trust God to put our children in the middle of His will. That means to make God's things the important things. What can we teach? What can we train our children that's more important and makes an eternal impact than walking in the way of the Lord? So many times we want them to be successful in the world's comforts when God is saying, trust me, I will triumph. It's the words of Habakkuk. In Habakkuk 1:5, where he says, look among the nations and see, wonder and be astounded, for I am doing a work in your days that you would not believe if told. Who would have believed that a baby in a basket in the middle of the Nile River, who would be seen by Pharaoh's daughter, would be the child that would stand up and say, let my people go. It was a God thing that God will triumph. And raising a child by faith says God will triumph. Thirdly, we see that God will save. God will save. Now I want you to look at this in verse 10 again. When the child grew older, she brought him to Pharaoh's daughter and he became her son. She named him Moses. Because she said, I drew him out of the water. Now this is kind of an interesting little tidbit to the story, to the passage of what's going on here. This is Pharaoh's daughter providing the name. We wonder why didn't the Hebrew mom, Jochebed, why didn't she provide the name? But understand that this is how he was raised. From this point on, that he is going to be known mostly by this, and we see that she gives him a seemingly Hebrew name. She named him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. Now, it's also important to know that Moses would also have fit right at home in an Egyptian culture. Because of the name Mos, it means to be born of, to be birthed of. You see it in some of the Pharaoh names, Thutmose the Third. Thutmose. Mos, to be born of the god Thut. And so you see this as being used in the Egyptian culture as well. So this name would have fit in an Egyptian culture. But in the Hebrew language, it means I draw out. Now what's interesting is the one talking here is Pharaoh's daughter. And she names him Moses because she said, I drew him out of the water. And if that is the name that she's intending, then the name should mean he was drawn out of the water. And that would have been a different word. But she uses the word in the name Moses, which means I draw out. That Moses draws out. And that Moses was to be drawn out of the water. And the idea is that he is the one that's going to be used to draw out of the water, to draw out of the nation of Egypt. He is going to be the one that is going to come back. And so here she inadvertently names him something that is foreshadowing the fact that he is going to pull his people out. A grammatical blunder is used to show us God's plan. Here we see this picture of God's salvation. But what's also interesting is the word for basket is the same word used for ark that's used in Genesis 6 through 9. And only here and in Genesis 6 through 9 is it used as an ark that God uses as a way of protection for His people, that God uses as a way to redeem His people, that God uses as a way to provide a purpose for His plan. And we see this in the life and the beginnings of Moses. When we raise this child by faith, it's pointing to the work of the gospel, that following God and relying on His work of redemption. That yes, even when times are hard, even when times are difficult, we have the opportunity to point our children through faith to the gospel. To realize that we can walk in a way and see God redeem in His time through both good and bad times. God will save. Amelia Taylor was trying to raise her children to live by faith. And so, from time to time, she would set desserts out on the table in the morning. And the goal was to teach her children that here you have something good in front of you, but if you would wait and refrain from it until later on, to the end of the day, then something greater would happen. Now, if they indulged in the dessert, they wouldn't punish. But yet, they tried to raise their children, and Amelia would put these desserts on the table to show them if you could deny yourself even this little bit for something for a longer time, they would come back with a far greater reward. And she taught her children this. One of her sons was Hudson Taylor, the missionary that was a part of the beginning of the China Inland Mission, who gave his life for the Lord's work. And all throughout his life, that lesson came back to him. In medical school, he was working on a cadaver that had a disease. He had a small cut on his hand and contracted some portion of the disease to where he fell ill with a fever. The instructor looked at him and said, "You're a dead man." But yet he went home. He trusted in the Lord, and because of his lifestyle, he made a full recovery. Because every day he would walk to the hospital through some of the poor sections of London. And it built up a lifestyle. When he was falling in love, there was a girl that he loved that he wanted to marry, but she wouldn't marry him unless he gave up his dream of going to China. So he ended the relationship. And yet God provided a wife in China, Maria, who was the daughter of English missionaries who had the same heart and same desire. Even when in China, there was the misfortune. He was traveling and his bed was stolen. His possessions were stolen. His Bible that his mother had given to him was stolen. And when the thief was captured, he didn't prosecute. He didn't press charges. But instead, he wrote a letter to the thief, wanting to provide repentance. He would write home of the story, and somehow that letter would come into front of George Mueller, who would send him $10,000 in way of support. He lived his life by how he was raised, by faith. You see, we see in this passage this morning, Jochebed raising Moses by faith. And if we understand that when we raise our children by faith, we have the opportunity to raise them by faith to change the world. That through them, God can do something amazing. To raise by faith puts out into this world those children, that offspring, that opportunity of those to see that God can be trusted, that He will triumph, that He will save. And if we walk with Him, He will provide. Moses' mother raised Moses by faith, and he would change the world. Hebrews 11:23, where we see that mentioned that by faith his parents hid him for 3 months. The very next verse in verse 24, by faith Moses, when he was grown up, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, choosing rather to be mistreated with the people of God than to enjoy the fleeting pleasures of sin. He considered the reproach of Christ greater wealth than the treasures of Egypt, for he was looking to the reward. Moses would choose to walk by faith, esteeming the reproach of Christ. He didn't know Christ. It wasn't looking back on Christ. What this is talking about is that humiliation, that of giving up your position. He gave up his position in Egypt to be used of God to bring his people out. He would walk by faith and trusting in the Lord. And today, as we think of Mother's Day, we think of the opportunity to raise our children by faith and showing them that a walk with God is more valuable than some of the fleeting comforts of this world. You see, we live in a global age today. We have connections to the world unlike never before. All it takes is one little post on social media, and it's around the world in seconds. You've heard the term of being viral, of a video on YouTube, a picture on Instagram, a post on Facebook that blows up, and all of a sudden you see it featured on the news. You see it featured all over the internet. It's shared here, there. We are living in an age where our children are in touch with the globe more often than ever before. Which means we are living in this global age with a chance to raise our children by faith to change the world. To make a difference in the world. You want to know something interesting? Jochebed. Jochebed is the first Joe name we see mentioned in Scripture. The Joe names such as Joel, Jonathan, Joash, Jehoiachin, all these names start with J-O, which in the Hebrew is short, in a short and abbreviation form of Yahweh. It is speaking to who God is. Jochebed, her name means God is glorious. You know what's interesting? It's because at the end of Exodus, it's Moses who sees the glory of God fill the tabernacle. Raised by faith in Jochebed to change the world. So we celebrate mothers. Let's celebrate the opportunity we have to raise our children by faith. Because God can be trusted. God will triumph. God will save. Shall we stand? This morning, as we come to our time of response, can I ask you just to reflect there in your heart and your life? Are you walking by faith this morning? It's very easy for us to walk by sight. Are we raising our kids by faith this morning, trusting God, trusting His Word, trusting that when He says, if you seek me first, all these things shall be added unto you? Are we showing our kids that God can be trusted? Can we show our future generations that God will triumph? when the evil grows from the private to the public, that we show that God is going to triumph? Are we showing the gospel in our homes that God will save? This Mother's Day, let us turn to walk by faith. See what God can do. In just a moment, I'm going to pray. The altar's going to be open. But if you need to begin that relationship with the Lord, to walk in faith by turning your life over to Him this morning, I'm going to be right here. I'd love to show you how to do that. And if you know the Lord and Savior personally, use this time to just reflect on your walk. Maybe areas that you need to surrender to Him. Maybe ways that you praise Him for how faithful He's been as you walked with Him. But as we sing, let's turn our hearts and lives to Him. Our Father, work now. Use your word. Use your spirit. Help us, Lord, to walk in you. We'll give you the thanks and praise. In Jesus' name.